Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's Word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Today's Crosswalk is pre-recorded from Truth Set Free.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Truth Set Free. My name is Matt Lewis. I'm here with Pastor Steve Winery. We're coming to you live from Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, our home base. You guys are watching on social media, Facebook and YouTube. You guys can just post in the comments, and we'll try to get to your question as best as possible. You can also leave praise reports, or if you want Pastor Steve to pray for you, you can post that as well. For you guys that are local, we have a Wednesday night service at 6:30. Are you starting a new book tonight, or what's going on?
No, I'm going to be gone next week, so I'm just going to do an in-between thing. Actually, I'm going to go through and talk about how to study the Bible.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to bring out a bunch of books, you know, some commentaries, you know, just study books.
Yeah.
So people know just the basics on what's available. So
awesome.
And I'm going to, actually, I'm going to go through and I just downloaded eSword on my computer. I usually use another Bible program, but it's a free Bible program.
Yeah.
It comes off the internet, and so I'm going to show people how to use it.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys are local. You guys check that out. Remember, Wednesday night posts the week behind. we post all those online as well if you care to catch Pastor Steve for that. And then on Sunday mornings, we have an 8:30 and a 10:30 service and a 6 p.m. service Sunday night. So if you guys are looking for fellowship, we'd love to have you. You guys can download our app. There's a million things going on here. I just have it pulled up right here. I know you can't see it, but a couple things coming up. Women's Retreat 2025. You guys can save the date. We got a ministry conference coming up. That would be an awesome thing to check out, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So get on our website, download our app, check us out. That's all I have. Steve, you ready to jump in here?
Yep.
All right. This is my first one for today. It says, I'm new at Calvary Chapel. I went Sunday night for the first time. I have social anxiety, and I don't get comfortable talking with people until after meeting them a couple times. What is something you would say or advice for new people coming in who are extremely extroverted like me?
You mean introverted is what you're saying.
Yeah, introverted.
Yeah. You know what? I want to be kind to you. You need to understand that I'm introverted too. I don't act that way. But if it's just if it's a social function, I like to stand in the back. I'm not necessarily a guy who likes to get out front unless I'm forced to. And, you know, that's just kind of my deal. When people come over, for example, to my house, I'm usually the one barbecuing, and I like that because I can quietly barbecue. And I'm serving people and stuff like that, and I don't have to have long conversations with folks and that kind of stuff. So I understand your point of view. And I'm a guy who could sit in a cave someplace and I'd be fine. So I'm coming at it from that point of view, and that's like who I am, except for when I know people well, then I'm totally extroverted, and I get into conversations with them and I laugh and joke and that kind of stuff. But if I don't know you, I'm pretty quiet. Okay, so coming from that point of view, what you got to do is you got to get over yourself. You got to get past you and get past how you feel and that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that you need to change your personality totally, because, you know, like I said, when I'm in a social setting, I'm usually pretty quiet unless somebody comes up and wants to talk to me, or if they need help, then I'll talk to them. And so this is what I've always done. I come to church, sit in the back, listen to the Bible study, didn't know anybody, you know, stand around for a little bit because I want to be polite to folks, and then I jet out to my car, right? And as I got to know people more, what ended up happening was I got into conversations with people, and I found that God would use me in those conversations because, you know, they would talk to me about some problem or some issue, and I might have happened to have read about it in the Bible, or God had just taken me through it, through something that applied to them. And it became a real natural thing that God would set me up with people who I could minister to because of the things that he'd done in me the previous week. And so I saw that as God, you know, moving me out of my little bubble and getting me involved in ministry with those who were around me. And when that started taking place, I realized how self-focused I was, and I just decided, okay, when I go to church, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look for opportunities to minister to others and not just go to, you know, suck it in for myself. And God's always really blessed that. And it's something that I still have to work with in the sense that I don't think that I'm all that special, and I don't think that people actually need to hear what I have to say. Even though I'm a pastor, it's the weirdest thing. And so, give you another story. When I was first a head pastor, one of the things that people do with pastors is they come up and ask questions, and they tell you their problems, that kind of stuff. And I can go through and give them the answers, but that is not all that they want. What they want is to see some compassion and some empathy and maybe even have me pray for them. But my attitude was always, why would you come to me to have me pray for you? Because who am I? And that kind of stuff. And so, again, that's the introvert type of situation. And what I had to do was get over it. I would have these awkward conversations with people where I'm talking to them, they're telling me their story, I give them the facts, you know, ma'am, just the facts, and then, you know, basically go, how's that for you? You know, yeah, are you good? And they're kind of sitting there going, okay, and then they turn around and walk away. And I know what they wanted. What they wanted me to do was pray for them. And so that happened a couple of times, and I just went, you know what, you're so selfish, Steve. Just get over yourself and pray for them. And so that's what I started doing. And so now I do that all the time, and it's just become a routine for me. Not routine in the sense that, you know, I just say some rote prayer or something, because I mean it when I pray. But it's routine in the sense that I know what people are looking for from me. And so it's going to be the same thing with you. So what I would tell you to do is go to church not just to receive, but to give. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Proverbs says a liberal soul will be made fat, and he who waters will be watered himself. And it's one of those things that God puts in our path so that we can grow in the Lord and so that he can bless us. Being a Christian has been compared to being a pitcher of water. And so God pours the water of the Holy Spirit into your life, and you're like a pitcher. And if you're not pouring it out, then what's going to happen is that water is going to get green and gunky, right? But if you pour it out, then God refills you. And then you pour it out again, and God refills you, and you pour it out again, and God refills you. And it just becomes this thing where God is constantly growing you and blessing you, and that's what your life is supposed to be about as a Christian. And so that's what I would do. And again, I'm not saying that you need to change your personality totally, because I like introverted people. A lot of times when I'm talking to an introvert, I'll just draw them out a little bit, because I know that they're people who are usually thinking. And a lot of times they'll have some interesting things to say. And so I'm not saying that you need to change your personality totally, but if you want to get past this, then you're going to have to get past yourself. And, you know, again, speaking from experience.
I talk about this routinely Sunday nights just because I'm built the same way. And, you know, we get together and pray like mm-hmm. you do sometimes on Wednesday night and stuff. But people have to realize that Satan's an isolationist. Mm-hmm. He wants you by yourself. And I know this from personal experience that if you don't take the time to get plugged in fellowship, not only do you not have the body working as it's supposed to, where you have the accountability and the people praying for you and the people pouring into you and all that stuff, but it's so much easier to bail mm-hmm. and just be able to be by yourself and, you know, walk away. And then, you know, if you're not involved, if you're not serving, you're not growing.
Yep.
And so all those things are so important. And it was the same thing with me, where it's like I was the guy that sat in the back, listened to the Bible study. I didn't even come for worship because I was like, well, I could take that or leave it.
Right.
The Bible study spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And I could sit in the back, listen to the study, leave, and not talk to anybody or get plugged in. And, you know, the other side to that, and you said it, you know, perfectly about not being mean about it or whatnot, but being on the other side and being in ministry now here, we try to do the best that we can with the resources we have and the time we have to deliver opportunities for people to serve. You know, we try to make it easy on you. Are we doing the best job on that? Well, I'll let you decide, but we try. But a lot of times people will leave that as an excuse of, well, there's nothing for me to do. Well, here's the deal. I have no gifts as far as being special. I think like Steve, as far as, you know, what am I? I still found a way to get plugged in. I still found a way to show up and pull weeds or usher or stack chairs. And that leads to opportunities to get plugged in the body. And so a lot of times I think it's excuses and people go, well, I'm built this certain way. It's like that God doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. He says, come and serve me. And that's an important thing. In fact, it stunted my growth in the beginning until I got past that. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. Here's the next question. How long would it have taken the Israelites to walk around Jericho in the book of Joshua?
When you're talking about the city of Jericho, one of the things that you have with ancient cities is they had the walled city and then they had the basically the environs or what we would call the suburbs. And so not everybody lived inside of Jericho. And what would happen is you would have farmers on the outside, and then if the city was attacked, farmers and housing and stuff like that on the outside, and then if the city was attacked, everybody would pack it up and get inside the city walls for protection. Okay, so when you're talking about the walls of Jericho, the extents of the city of Jericho was about 10 acres total that were within the walls. And so when you're talking about, it's a little less than 10 acres, but when you're talking about 10 acres, to go around a 10-acre parcel is a half a mile. Okay, and so if they were walking literally right up next to the walls of Jericho, it would have been a half a mile. Walking speed's about 2 miles per hour, and so you're talking about 15 minutes or so. But you got a lot of people there, and so it probably took longer. And there's a good chance that there were houses and stuff right up next to the walls. And so they would probably be going around those houses also. And so you'd be talking about anywhere from a half an hour to an hour if they wanted to keep within sight of the walls, which would be something that you'd want to do in a situation like that. And so, yeah, right about like that.
All right, moving on to my next one. Where do you draw the line between legalism and a stumbling block? An example, the whole meat sacrifice to idol thing that we were going through Proverbs 18 study on Sunday nights. To what extent should I cater towards somebody's legalism? And then another example, I have someone who thinks drinking a Monster energy drink is satanic. Do I just submit to everyone's rules that they create for themselves to avoid stumbling people? Or at some point, shouldn't the response be to tell a person they're being nuts?
I've told people that they are nuts. You know, here's the deal. When you're talking about stumbling people, you're not talking about somebody who's 5, 6, 10, 15 years old in the Lord. When you're talking about stumbling people, you're talking about new Christians. And so that's who I'm looking at. And so there is a thing that's called the tyranny of the weak. And it's the idea that I'm an older Christian. I have set up all these specific standards for myself that I think that everybody else should, you know, kowtow to. And I, you know, basically, I'm just being tyrannical in my attitude towards those who are around me. And so, those are not people that I worry about. The people that I'm worried about are people who are younger Christians, people who are brand new out of the world, people who are struggling with certain sins. And maybe I've overcome those sins decades ago, but I still need to be sensitive to those who are brand new. And those are the people that Paul is talking about, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You don't want to destroy your brother for your drink or for your meat or for whatever. And otherwise, we need to be people who are tolerant to what other people are thinking about and what other people are dealing with. Romans 14 is just a great passage for that whole conversation. Let me just show you a couple things out of that. If I can get there. Here we go. Romans 14. It says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things, for one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he'll be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." And then he talks about esteeming one day above another, and so on. Later on, he talks about drinking, too, and the whole issue of drinking and stumbling people. And so again, when you're talking about this situation, you're talking about somebody who's weak in the faith, or you're talking about somebody who's a newbie, basically. And so those are the people that I worry about. So for example, when I've talked to people about biblical issues, and sometimes people get a little hoity-toity and they go, oh, I see that you have an issue with that, and so I don't want to stumble you, brother. Well, you're not going to, because I've been a Christian for, 50 years almost. And I follow Jesus, and I could give a rip about what you think and what you do. So you're never going to stumble me. You can irritate me, and you can make me mad, and you can, there's all kinds of things that you can do to me, but stumbling is not going to be one of those things. And so, even people that are close to me that I consider spiritual, guys that I look up to spiritually, they fall away from Jesus. It doesn't stumble me. It's like they fell away from Jesus because they're being a jerk. And so it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus at that point. It has to do with them. And so, again, you keep that in mind. And so what I'm telling you is you look at who you're talking to. And if you're talking to somebody who's been a Christian for 5 or 10 years, they're not the issue. And so, and especially over this kind of stuff and the energy drink, it's like, whatever. There are things that we need to be paying attention to in our culture. And so our culture is highly sexualized, and sexual stuff is stuff that we need to be paying attention to, because the world expects us to be different than what they are, and I want to reach people in the world. It's like you don't reach them by becoming like them. You reach them by being different than them and showing them that you can have a life that's worth living that has nothing to do with all their nonsense. And so we have a highly sexualized culture. We have a highly addictive culture. Whether you're talking about alcohol or drugs, these are things that Christians need to be paying attention to. And it's because we've got too many people who are around us who have had their lives destroyed by these things. And especially when you're talking about a new believer coming to the Lord, can you imagine somebody who's just coming to Jesus and they've had this radical struggle with alcohol and they finally were able to give it up and they walk into a fellowship of believers who are tipsy every weekend? It's like that's not going to be a good thing. And so, again, there are things that you watch out for. But again, you're watching out for those things with younger believers. And so that's where I would put it. Here's another thing. When you're talking about legalism, you've got your definition right, because this person is talking about an energy drink in this situation. That's a rule that they've made up on their own. And so maybe God has told them, you need to get over the energy drink thing. And that's good for them. There have been times when God told me, I need to stop watching TV. Well, that doesn't mean everybody in my realm of acquaintance needs to stop watching TV too, because God told me to. And so he can do that, but I need to keep in mind that that's something that he's doing for me. And so when you're talking about this kind of stuff, this is literally what legalism is. Legalism is making up rules that the Bible does not attach to believers. And again, that's one of those things that we don't have to be paying attention to. When you're talking about, a lot of times people, though, are talking about people who are speaking about being obedient to Scripture. Being obedient to Scripture is not legalism. That's called obedience. And so, there are people who play fast and loose with the commands of God. And again, we can talk about lust. Don't look on a woman to lust after her, because if you do, you've already committed adultery with her. Let not fornication be named among you, as is fitting concerning saints. That kind of stuff. And people go, well, you're just being legalistic about it. No, that's obedience. And so you got to keep your definition straight. So legalism is when somebody's making up a rule that's not in Scripture. And when you're talking about being obedient to what the Word of God has to say, that's not legalism, that's obedience. And so when a believer comes up to me and says, hey, Steve, the Bible says this about this situation, There can be times where that can be legalism, in the sense that it's Old Testament law and it's something that's specifically been fulfilled in the New Testament. So if somebody came up to me and said, hey, Steve, the Bible says that when you sin, you gotta make a sacrifice. And so you gotta go out and slaughter a cow. I just go, dude, that's already been taken care of. Jesus took care of that. And so he's my sacrifice. He's also my Sabbath. And so that can be legalism, where you're trying to keep people tied into an Old Testament passage that's been fulfilled in Christ, or when they're making up rules. And otherwise, what we need to be doing is paying attention to what the word is. And if somebody comes up and says that we're doing something that's contrary to clear scripture that applies to my life, then I need to listen to that, and I need to be humble about it. So
I think this takes a minute to have wisdom and figure out and some time. And it kind of goes like this. I have a sneaking suspicion there's people around this that will take the Monster Energy drink and Alex Jones it and go, well, the symbol means this, and there's a satanic thing in here, and if you turn the can upside down and all this stuff, you know. Yeah. And it's kind of like the same thing that people will take, and they'll take something that, okay, it's by a company in the world. Maybe they're not believers, and they have things going on.
Right. Yeah.
And people do the same thing with, like, Halloween or Harry Potter. And then put all these rules around it, and it's like, I think if you look at it as works of the flesh, stumbling block, spiritual principles, stumbling block, that's the ticket. Uh-huh. Because if you become a lot of like these conspiracy theory Christians that they're looking for Satan under every rock,
right,
that you end up being weird. And the people in the world look at that as like cult-like weirdos, and it's just not effective.
Right,
yeah. I don't even like talking to those people, and I get all of the gray area. So some of it, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just they end up being the snake-handling, Kool-Aid-drinking weirdos that think they're spiritual, and it's just not effective for the gospel.
Right.
Total distraction.
Exactly.
So,
you know, Christians are not supposed to be known by, you know, what they wear, what they eat, what they drink. They're not supposed to be known by those things. What we're supposed to be known by is our walks with God and our character. That's what we're supposed to be known by. And so when you start putting an emphasis on all these other things, then, you know, it becomes problematic. And so we need to love each other and make sure that we're not stumbling those who are younger, and, you know, just walk with Jesus. So it's pretty simple. Don't be a weirdo.
I'll throw this up here. For you guys that have questions, send them to me, crosswalkradio@gmail.com. You guys can voicemail or text message 707-872-7677. I forgot to mention that at the beginning of the show, but I hold those questions throughout the week. And so email me, and I'll put them on the next available slot.
Gloob, I read your email here, and you know what? You need to call into the office here. It's 509-736-2086, and you need to call into the office and get in touch with a pastor, because even though you don't have somebody in your life that you can talk to, we've got guys down here who would love to talk to you and help you out in putting things together in your life so that you don't have to go to the extremes that you're talking about. I'm not going to – well, it's – is this on
– Facebook.
This is on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay. So what you're talking about is not God's will for you. What you're talking about is something that Satan wants to do to you. He just wants to discourage you and wreck your life. In your email here, in your text here, you said that you have kids under you. You know, you go and take your life, and they are going to be scarred for the rest of their lives. I've got a really good friend who she's almost family. Well, she is family to me. She was in high school, and she stayed with my wife and I as she finished her senior year. And her mom committed suicide, and she literally was the one who came into the bathroom and found her and just scarred her. She's still scarred. She's a Christian now, and she's still scarred over that whole thing. And this is not something that you want to do to those around you that love you.
That's all the time we have for today. If you have questions for Pastor Steve, please email me at crosswalkradio@gmail.com, or you can leave a voicemail or text message to 707-872-7677. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you've been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk. My King is come.